Good morning, we're on Daf Tzadi Hey Amud Aleph in the Ein Yaakov Mavor on page Kof Lamed Chet. The Pasuk in Yeshaya that we've been talking about, or the series of Psukim in Yeshaya that we've been talking about, about the 10 days travel that Sancheriv did in one day, ends with Od Hayom B'Nov Lamod, yet this day to stand in Nov, Yinofef Yado Har Bat Zion, he will wave his hand towards the mountain of the daughter of Zion, Givat Yerushalayim, the hill of Yerushalayim. Gemara asks, "My Od Hayom B'Nov Lamod." What does it mean? Yet this day to stand in Nov. Amar of Yehuda, Oto Hayom Nishtayer Me'avonah Shel Nov. That day remained from the sin of Nov. Was a sin of Nov, which I'll explain in a minute, and Hashem had decreed the punishment would remain for a certain amount of time, the way some of Farshim learn, or just that the effects of the sin still remained until that day. That day was Sancheriv's last chance to benefit from the remnants of the sin of Nov before it was cleansed. We'll talk about that. Some background. When David HaMelech was, or the future David HaMelech, was running away from Shaul, this is immediately after the Haftorah that we read on Erev Shabbos, Erev Rosh Chodesh, where David and Yonatan made this arrangement about shooting the arrows, and then they met in the field, and they hugged, and they made a covenant with each other, and Yonatan went home, and immediately after that, it says, Vayakum vayelach Yonatan vayelach. David got up and went. Yonatan va'ir, and Yonatan came into the city. Vayavod David nove, and David came to Nov el Achimelech haKohen, to Achimelech the Kohen, and Achimelech comes out, hurries out to him, and says, "Why are you traveling by yourself?" And Vayomer David laAchimelech haKohen haMelech tzivani davar. David said, "I'm on a mission from the king." He said to me, "Ish al yeda me'uma et hadavar shenochish lecha." Nobody should know. I'm on a secret mission. And David says, "I do have people with me, but I've left them in a certain place, and we're all starving. Do you have bread for us?" Achimelech said, "We have nothing except the bread from the shulchan, the lechem apanim," and he gave it to David because he thought they were starving, or they were starving. And Pikuach Nefesh, he gave it to him. This is, by the way, in Shmuel Aleph, Perk Chav Aleph. In Shmuel Aleph, Perk Chav Bet, it says, Vayan do'eg ha'domi v'hu nitzav al avdei Shaul, do'eg ha'domi, who was over the servants of Shaul, like the chief of staff, said, Ra'iti et ben Yishai ban Noveh, I saw Doeg was there. He happened to see this. And he said, "I saw the son of Yishai come to Nov, El Achimelech ben Achituv." Achimelech asked the Urim V'tumim. Question for David. You can only ask for the king. But Achimelech thought that David was on a mission from the king, because that's what David told him. And he gave him bread. And so Shaul calls Achimelech. And
David also was supposed to be king.
Right, but he wasn't king yet. That's a big discussion in general in understanding the whole story of David and Shaul. Who was the king? When did David become king? Was David considered a Morid B'Malchus, that is a rebel, and he was actually Chayv Misa?
And Shmuel or, and anointed him.
That's true, but anointed him for when? When did he become king? We elect a president in November. He doesn't become president until January. Right. So that's a whole separate discussion learning Sefer Shmuel. So Shaul calls Achimelech, the Kohen Gadol, and says, "Why did you rebel against me and join forces with Ben Yishai?" And Achimelech says, "He's your loyal servant, and I thought he was on a mission from you." And Shaul tells him, "Mot tamut Achimelech, you're going to die." Shaul tells his men to kill Achimelech and the Kohanim, and they refuse. Vayomer Hamelech le Doeg, he's called here. Sova tauf gav kohanim, you do it. And Doeg does. He kills the kohanim, kills 85 people that day. And then v'eit Nov Ir Kohanim hikalafi charev, and then they charev, and then they went and they wiped out the city of Nov Ir Kohanim, man and woman, child, all the animals. Vayimaleit bein echad lachimelech ben achituv. One child escaped. Mushmo Evyatar, his name was Evyatar. Vayivrach achrei David, and he ran after David, and he went on to become Kohen Gadol under David. That's one background story to our Gemara. Another one is in Sefer Melachim Bet Perek Yud Aleph. Va'atalia im Achaziahu ra'ata ki meit bina. Atalia, the mother of King Achaziahu. Achaziahu was a king of Yehuda. Atalia was the daughter of Achav and Izebel, the king and queen of Israel. She married the king of Yehuda, and her son was the king Achaziahu. So she saw that her son died. She got up and she wiped out the entire house of David. Yehosheva, the daughter of the king, the sister of Achaziahu, presumably the daughter of Atalia, took Yehoash ben Achaziah. She took Yehoash ben Achaziah, the son of the king who had died, Atalia's grandson. She stole him from among all the dead sons of the king, and took his wet nurse, his nanny, and hid him from Ataliah, and he did not die. He was hidden away for 6 years, and when he was 7 years old, he became king. Ataliah was done away with, and he became king. Okay, so two. Keep those two stories in mind, how the city of Nov was wiped out because of David and Shaul, and one child survived, and then later the family of David is wiped out, and one child survives. David died in the year 2924, the Jewish calendar. Shaul died in 2884. So this incident with Nov Ir Kohanim is approximately 2883. Atalia died in 3061. Achaziah died in 3055. So this incident of Atalia killing out the family, including her own children and grandchildren, the family of the House of David, happened in 3055. Chizkiah, who and Sancheirev, who we've been talking about, are later. Chizkiah dies in 3227. So this incident of Sancheirev is in approximately, I think, 15 years earlier, so 3212, just to put it in context. So the Gemara says, "My od hayom binov lamod." What does it mean? Yet this day to stand in Nov. Amar Rav Huna oto hayom nishtayer mavuna shel Nov. That day was left over from the sin of Nov. Amri le koldai, the astrologist told Sancheirev, "Iazlat ha'idna." If you go today, you'll be able to defeat Yerushalayim. V'ilo lo yachlalei la. And if not, you will not be able to. So, orcha debal sagui v'asra yome sagi v'chad yoma. Sancheirev hurried, and the journey that should have taken 10 days took one day. He was in a rush to get to Yerushalayim while he still had the chance. While there was some decree hanging over Yerushalayim, which the Gemara says was the punishment for the sin of Nov. Kimetol Yerushalayim, when they came to Yerushalayim, Shtole Bistarke,
that punishment was ending that day.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. That's the implication, that there was
statute of limitations.
Either there Hashem decreed it would be for a certain amount of time and it was expiring, like a statute of limitations, or there was some zuchus that happened that day that undid the decree of the punishment for the city of Nov. We're going to talk about that. So Sancheirev came to Yerushalayim. Kimetol Yerushalayim shtule bistarke. When they came to Yerushalayim, they built him a tower. Ad slake viati milave shura, so that he could see over the wall. Ad chazle kula Yerushalayim, he could see all of Yerushalayim. Kichazia idzutar v'enei. When he saw Yerushalayim, it was small in his eyes. Amar halodai kartad Yerushalayim. This is the city of Yerushalayim. Da'ala argishat kol mashariyati. For this, I mobilized my whole army. Da'ala kavshit kol medinati. And I fought through many countries to get here, to this puny little village. He's the Arab Chalasha Mikokarche Amamaya the Kavshid Bikof Yadish. It's smaller and weaker than all the cities of the nations that I've captured with my strength. Allah kam umaned bereshe. He went up and he shook his head at it. Movil Mighty Bide Altur Beit Maktashai waved his hand towards the mountain of the Beis Hamikdash to Beit Zion, which is in Zion, Bala Zarata de Yerushalayim, and on the courtyards of Yerushalayim, like dismissively, like the pasuk says, "Oda yom benovia lamod." You know, feif yado har bat Zion. He'll wave his hand at the mountain of Yerushalayim dismissively, like hey, this is what I've gone crazy over. Amrile nishte be yadai idna. The people said, "Let's conquer it today." Marlahu, he said, "Tamhitu, you're tired. We've just traveled 10 days' journey in 24 hours." The way the Yad Ramah learned yesterday. L'machar aituli kochad b'chad minaychu gulme harag mina. Tomorrow, let's rest tonight, and tomorrow each of you will bring me a stone from the wall of Yerushalayim. Miyad v'hiba laylahu. What happened next? That night, v'yetzei malach Hashem v'yach machane Ashur. A malach of Hashem came out and struck the camp of Ashur. V'ashkimu v'boker v'nei kulam figurim meitim. And they all woke up dead. In other words, Sancheirav woke up and everyone else was dead. 185,000 soldiers. Amra Papa, Hainu Damri, Enashe, this is what people say, Bat Dina, Betal Dina. If the judgment sleeps, the judgment is nullified. He missed his chance because he didn't do it today. He missed his chance. Iyun Yaakov on Gemara says, Nishtayer me avonashal nov. There was some leftover from the sin of nov. Midika amar nishtayer. From the fact, it says there were some leftovers. Klomar shikar havon kvar nikaper b'midato. It's telling us that for the most part, the sin was atoned for. Mida keneged mida mash kalazer od David yidei Ataliyahu emachazia. The fact that Atalia wiped out the house of David and only one child survived, that, for the most part, atoned for the sin of Nov being wiped out and only one child survived. But there was still some sin left on Shaul and his generation, that they did not prevent this from happening in the first place. In other words, three people were guilty for the city of Nov being wiped out. There was Shaul, who commanded it to be done. Actually, four. There was Doeg, who did it. And Shaul, who commanded it to be done. And all the people around Shaul who didn't prevent it from happening. And there was David, who got them in trouble in the first place by going there and claiming to be on a mission from the king. If David hadn't done that in the first place, then the whole thing never would have happened. So the Iyun Yaakov is learning that it was atoned for David by his family being wiped out by Queen Ataliah, but the people, the Jewish people, had not been atoned for because and Shaul's family had not been atoned for because they also participated in it. Sanhedrin Ketana, Avram Yeshua Heschel Hornstein, lived in the 1800s. Late 1800s. He says that, as I just pointed out, so David sinned by claiming to be on a mission. Now, even though David was starving to death and he needed food, you don't have the right to save your own life by endangering other people. Pikuach nefesh is docha everything, but it's not docha other people's lives. So David didn't have the right to endanger other people by
claiming. He knew that Shaul was going to come and
David saw Doeg there. David saw Doeg and knew that Doeg was an officer of Shaul. Navi says explicitly that.
Okay, but he still didn't know that he was going to wipe out
I disagree with that, and clearly the Mefarshim on the Gemara disagree with that. David First of all, he knew that Shaul would find out because he knew Doeg was there. Second, he knew that Shaul had an irrational hatred towards him and was ready to act on that irrational hatred because Shaul had already tried multiple times to kill David, and Shaul had even tried to kill Yonatan for befriending David. Shaul had a ruach ra, however you define ruach ra. Shaul acted irrationally when it came to David. Shaul was a tzaddik, and an immense tzaddik and talmid chacham, but when it came to David, Shaul was not capable of being rational. So David knew that. And David should have realized, David was a smart person too, he should have realized that he was endangering them by not only coming there, but by claiming to be a representative of Shaul in order to get food. Sanhedrin Ketana continues that perhaps the sin of the Jewish people, the Iyun Yaakov said that the sin of the Jewish people was not stopping Shaul. The Sanhedrin Ketana says that the sin of the Jewish people was before that. By asking for a king in the first place, everything was going well. They had Shmuel HaNavi leading them. And they came to Shmuel HaNavi and they said, we want a king. And Shmuel, through prophecy, appointed Shaul. That didn't work out. And then through prophecy, appointed David. And this whole story of David and Shaul took place. None of that would have happened if the people had not wrongly asked for a king. A lot of discussion in the commentaries, why was it wrong to ask for a king since the Torah has a mitzvah of appointing a king? That's a separate discussion. There are lots of different explanations given. But the bottom line is, it's clear in the Navi that the people are faulted for asking for a king. And Shmuel tells them that, you did the wrong thing. So perhaps that's the sin that is referred to. That sin was hanging over them until the time of Chizkiah. The role of the king, once there is a king, some say that the sin was, they said, give us a king so we'll be like all other nations. They should have said, give us a king to uplift us spiritually. That's the role of a king. The first king who truly succeeded, even though David was a great tzaddik and Shlomo HaMelech was a great tzaddik and he built the Beis HaMikdash and there were other tzaddikim in between Asa and Yehoshaphat among the kings, but the first one who really succeeded in uplifting the nation was Chizkiah. We learned that in the days of Chizkiah, they searched from the northern end of Eretz Yisrael to the southern end of Eretz Yisrael. They didn't find a single person, man or woman or child, who wasn't expert in halachos. Chizkiah was the first really successful, and the only, actually, really successful king. So the sin of asking for a king was hanging over them until that day, until the time of Chizkiah. And on that day, the balance tipped. I guess they were learning Torah under time of Chizkiah, and the scale of merits was going lower and lower and lower. And that day, or the next day, after Sancheirav came, was the day when the scales finally tipped. That explains why the people were forgiven. But there were other participants in the sin. There was Shaul and David. So the Marsha says that the 10 northern tribes were already exiled by Sancheirav. And they were exiled because they made golden calves to, Navi describes how Yeravam made two golden calves and told the people, worship these instead of going to the Beis HaMikdash. That aroused the sin of the Egel Azav, the original golden calf, right? And they were exiled for that. Now, because of that, also, they were missing out on doing the Avoda and the Beis HaMikdash. The 10 northern tribes, they were already taken care of. But the sin of not doing the Avoda and the Beis HaMikdash was also exacerbated by the fact that 85 Kohanim and their families had been murdered hundreds of years before. Those 85 Kohanim would have had children and grandchildren and descendants who would have been people doing the Avoda and the Beis HaMikdash. So there was that remnant of the sin in every generation. And in particular, it was felt on Erev Pesach. Because Erev Pesach, when everybody comes to bring the Karban Pesach, you need hundreds or thousands of Kohanim to do this work. And so the murder of 85 Kohanim and their families hundreds of years ago was particularly felt on Erev Pesach when Kohanim were missing from the Beis HaMikdash. The night that Sancheriv was wiped out, Sancheriv's army was wiped out, we say in the Pesach Haggadah, one of the poems after Halal, says that it was Pesach night when Sancheriv's army was wiped out. Had he attacked Yerushalayim on that day, Erev Pesach, the sin of the Kohanim being murdered would have, its impact would have been felt by the absence of those of their descendants bringing the Korban Pesach. But he didn't grab his chance, so that day passed, the remnant of the sin passed. So the way the Marshal is understanding, it's not a statute of limitations that it lasted for X hundreds of years, but rather just that there was a day, Erev Pesach, when the sin was felt, and once Erev Pesach passed, the chance passed. And the Marsha says that this sin in particular belonged to the two tribes of the kingdom of Yehuda. There was the 10 northern tribes, and the two southern tribes were Yehuda and Binyamin. David was from Yehuda, Shaul was from Binyamin. So those two tribes carried this sin in particular, and that's why Sancheriv could have defeated those two tribes on that Erev Pesach. But he missed his chance. What I just said, really, I said the Marsha, it combined the Marsha and Aruch Laner as well. The Marsha said part of it, and Aruch Laner built on what the Marsha said. What was Sancheriv thinking? His astrologers told him, today's the day. And he gets there and he says, it's nothing, we'll do it tomorrow. After he had just raced 10 days' journey, on the side of the Vilna in Yaakov, there's a commentary called Chidushei Gaonim. They bring from Mitzudas David, I'm not sure which Mitzudas David it is, who says that we know that when astrologers see things, they don't see things clearly. It's like the Paro's astrologers who told him, the leader of the Jews will be killed by water. They didn't understand that what they were seeing. What they were seeing was that in the future, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to hit the rock to bring out water, and because of that, he's going to be sentenced to die. They didn't understand that. They just understood that there's something about water that's going to harm the leader of the Jews, so Paro decreed that all the babies who were born should be thrown in the Nile. That's how astrology works. There's something to it, but it's not clear in the least. Here, the astrologers told Sancheriv, today's your lucky day. He understood that that just meant, as long as I hit the road today, I'll be fine. He didn't understand that he had to destroy Yerushalayim that day. It doesn't say that he had Kvisa Derech. In fact, the Gemara is coming up later on his daf, is going to say, there were three people who had Kvitsa Saderach, and it's not going to list Sancheriv as one of them. How did he go 10 days' journey one day? He went quickly. He hurried. He pushed it. They traveled for 24 hours with only a slight break in Geva to rest. And apparently he could. Maybe when armies travel, they usually travel with lots of pomp and circumstance, and here they just charged. I don't know. Sprinted. Apparently so. It says, Amrile Kaldai, the Kaldaim told him, I Asla Ta'idna, if you go today, Yecholtla, you'll succeed. Well, that's ambiguous. If you go today, that could mean if you set out today, or that could mean if you get there today. And so the Mitzudas David brought here, says that that's why where Sancheriv went wrong.
In some sense, the astrologers did not say you need to battle them.
Right. They said go today. Because that's what they saw. They didn't see clearly that today was the day when the Yerushalayim was at risk because of the sin of Noah. They didn't know what they were seeing. Right. Correct. Exactly. So Sancheriv missed his chance. For Shmuel Yaakov Bornstein, Shiurei Zos Yaakov, gives us the Musar that we can learn from this Gemara, what we can take away from it. So Sancheirev missed his chance. We say, we'll make a, this is a pasuk that we quote, we'll make a siyum. Me'oivai techakmeni. Make me wise from my enemies. We should look at what the bad guys do, and we should learn how we can take that same power or that same motivation and use it for good. And the message is that when you decide to do something, if you want to learn Daf Yomi, don't say, I'll start Daf Yomi next week. By the way, next week, Daf Yomi is starting a new Masechet next Thursday. So maybe that is a good time to start Daf Yomi. But if you want to learn Mishnah Yomi, don't say, I'll do it next week. Or you want to learn Shnai Mikrovecha Targum, whatever you want to do. You want to do Chesed. You want to join Bikur Cholim, whatever it is. Don't say, I'll do it next week. Do it today. Because if you put it off, then you'll end up not doing it at all. The story is told, Rabbi Winters, that's all, I used to tell this story frequently, and I don't remember who the people in it were, but there was from Yeshiva Bacharim sitting around arguing during their lunch and discussing their learning, and one of them misquoted a Gemara or a Tosfos or something, and they told him, and he was so upset, he got up from the table and went to the Beis Medrash, didn't come out for 3 days, and grew up to be some gadol that we've all heard of. I just don't remember who it was. So people asked another gadol, did he do the right thing to leave the table without benching? And the answer was, no, he didn't do the right thing. But had he stopped to bench, he would have lost the motivation he had, and he never would have grown up to be the gadol that he was. The story would be more meaningful if it had names in it, and I don't remember the names. Rabbi Winter used to tell this from time to time. But that's the point here. Sancheirev said, okay, I'll do it tomorrow, and he never did it. The paradigm for this, which we actually talked about last week, is baking matzah. If you're baking matzah and you take a break in the middle of baking matzah, your matzah will become chametz. And from that we learn a general rule, mitzvah haba liyadcha al tach mitzena. When a mitzvah comes to you, don't let the mitzvah become chametz. Torah says, u'shmartem et ha-matzot, you should guard the matzos. And the word matzos is spelled the same as mitzvos. And we darshan, you should guard the mitzvos. Don't let the mitzvos become chametz. When you have a chance to do a mitzvah, do it promptly. And he points out, Zohar says that the word chametz and matzah are nearly identical words. They both have a mem and a tzadi. The chametz has a chet, and matzah has a hey. The difference between a hey and a chet is one drop of ink. They both have like a dalet. In the Torah, a chet's not a dalet, but they both have a top and a right side, and then on the left side, the hey is a smaller piece, and the chet is a full piece. So it's one drop of ink is the difference between a chet and a hey. The difference between chametz and matzah is minuscule. The difference between succeeding at making the matzah or not succeeding in making the matzah, or between succeeding at the mitzvah or not succeeding in the mitzvah, is just a tiny drop, a tiny amount of waiting. He then ties it into the parshios we've been reading lately. Yaakov tells Esav, you want the stew, sell me the bechorah. Yaakov recognized the right time. He didn't miss his chance. He said, this is my chance to get the bechorah. He recognized that this would be the right time. Yaakov didn't ask Esav earlier. Yaakov waited until he saw the right time. But when he did see the right time, he acted. Later, when Rivka tells Yaakov to go bring the food to Yitzchak and get the brachos, we see how important it was to do it in the nick of time. Because the pasuk says, Vayhi ach yatzo yatza Yaakov meipnei Yitzchak avi ve'esav ba. Yaakov just finished and Esav came in. In elementary school, they told us, and maybe this is a medrash, I'm not sure, they told us, imagine like these doors in an industrial kitchen where one door opens in and one door opens out, or a revolving door, except it's not glass, and so you can't see. So Yaakov was going out one door, and Esav was going in the other door. The pasuk doesn't imply that that's what happened. It says Esav came and had to prepare the food first. But had Yaakov said, I'll do it in half an hour, he would have missed his chance, because he would have met Esav at Yitzchak's door. And or Esav would have come in while before Yitzchak gave the brachos. So it just emphasizes how history changed because Yaakov seized the moment and acted promptly. And we should learn from that, from Sancheirov's mistake, not to miss our chance. Have a good day.